excited you're joining us for the second hour of the program. A lot happening here in the second hour, of course. We're going to bring you the latest report from Open the Books. Now, Open the Books is a watchdog group that sifts through our government's spending and tries their very best to expose when maybe fraud is happening or there might be like just a very questionable situation. They just uncovered a lot in regards to COVID fraud. And so you're going to want to stay put for that one because that's going to be an incredible interview that we do with Rachel O'Brien. She's been going through all of the information and she'll break down that report for us in just about 5 minutes. Plus, we'll be joined by Dan Lyman. He's one of the incredible reporters over at Infowars.com. He's got a lot to sound off on, so I look forward to having him back on the program. But most importantly, we're taking your calls. Yes, we are. 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. I was a little too confident with that one. That is the number you're going to want to call if you want to join the show. We're going to be talking about a lot, obviously. I know you're all going to want to sound off on Epstein files, glyphosate, because I'm still not done with that. I'll probably start rambling about that too soon in a couple minutes. But if you want to join me in my rambles, 877-789-2539 is the number to call. I was just talking to the control room. Our guy's here. And Dan thinks it's newsworthy, so I'll tell you. If you haven't gone to Mar-a-Lago as a member of the media, let me tell you what it's like. When you go to Mar-a-Lago as a member of the media, Trump isn't very nice to the media. But like, I get it. I get it. I just didn't think it was going to happen to me. I've gone to Mar-a-Lago before for dinner with friends. I used to live in West Palm Beach, so I was very lucky enough to do that. But it's a totally different experience because when you're media, he actually doesn't allow you to use the bathrooms inside of Mar-a-Lago. You actually have to, and I get why, but you actually have to go out to the porta potty. So I was there for the announcement when he was announcing that he was going to run in 2024. And I didn't do it. I didn't go out there. Now, according to people that went to use the porta potties, they told me that they were very nice porta potties. I've never used a porta potty before. Wasn't going to do it. I know this is probably not your 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. chatter, depending upon where you are right now, but that's what he does. He doesn't allow the media to use the bathrooms over at Mar-a-Lago. He'll give you Coke, though. He'll give you Coca-Cola, I should say. Coca-Cola, water, a couple of drinks. But he will not let you, no food, but he will not allow you to use the bathrooms. So if you're ever reporting, if you're a journalist and you're going to be at Mar-a-Lago, just brace yourself. Don't drink a lot of water. It's not a good time. Also, when he's speaking at Mar-a-Lago, you're not allowed to leave. That's a Secret Service thing. No, that's not him. For security reasons, the doors have to remain shut. And it was quite the eventful change of events for me when I learned all of this. So very, very interesting. Very, very. Yeah, there you go. Secret Service spends $30,000 on porta potties while guarding Trump for summer. Yeah, it's not ideal, folks. I don't know. I've never used one because I try to have a little bit of class, but they were apparently very nice porta potties, according to some. But I'll never go back as media again. Lesson learned. Lesson learned. All right, we got more stories we're going to be covering too in a little bit. Tom Fitton actually just gave us an update on one of his lawsuits against the DOJ, FBI. And it's actually kind of shocking when you look at the details as to what the FBI and DOJ have said back in response to his lawsuit. We'll play those details for you in a bit, or I'll read those details for you in a bit because that might get you fired up. We'll also play a really good clip. It's Tucker Carlson, and I'll play this in a bit. I'm not going to play now. Just a little teaser. Tucker Carlson getting into a little bit of a spat with Mark Cuban. I saw this clip and couldn't stop laughing because it was really true. And Cuban didn't even know how to defend himself and all of that. So I'll do that in a little bit. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Today's the last day to win, potentially. Well, it's the last day for every single dollar you spend, you get 100 entries. That's the key element in all of this. But you could potentially win a Ford F-250 and a Ford Mustang. Plus $20,000 in cash. That's happening right now at thealexjonesstore.com. So you got to head on over to the shop and snag some of your favorite supplements because this sale is going to end in a couple of hours. And I mean, one of those two cars looks sick in your driveway. Head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com, and make sure you get your supplements. It's going to be a long day for me. Long day for me. But for the rest of you, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com.
Ladies gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health with Ultimate Turmeric Gummies. Inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
If it matters to America, it matters here. This is the American Journal with Brianna Morello, live streaming on band.videonex around the globe.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. Happy Friday, y'all. A lot happened. I'm trying to do the y'all thing. Is it sticking? And as a New Yorker, it's not natural, so I'm forcing it. But I will convert to the Southern way of life. Folks, we're taking your calls in just a little bit, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539 is the number to call. Get on those hold lines. We look forward to hearing from you. I think Amanda in Arizona is on hold, too. We won't go to her right now, but Amanda, if you're on hold, I think you were just writing me an X, and I was actually just going to flag that article that you may have tagged me in. So I look forward to hearing it from you, though. So thank you for calling. Folks, stay on hold if you're there. We're going to be getting to some calls in a moment. But I want to get to this next segment because it's all about following the money in regards to, well, fraud, potential misuse of our funds. You know, typical stuff. Obviously, the American people are finally starting to realize what's been going on with their government, and it's not good. It's not good. Millions and millions and millions of your taxpayer dollars have been going to things that you didn't sign up for. And, well, Open the Books have been digging into all of this, and they've got numbers, but they're in the billions. They're in the billions. The good news is improper payments is down since the COVID era, but it's still happening. It's still going on. Joining me to discuss and break down their very latest report is Rachel O'Brien. She is a deputy public policy editor and also an investigative journalist for OpenTheBooks.com. And it is an honor to have her back on the program. Rachel, thank you for being here. You guys have just put out this new story, which I think is very, very enlightening. It has a lot to do with following the money and money being improperly dished out to people who probably aren't worthy of it. So let's break down your latest report.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me back. So these are improper payments that the agencies report directly to the Office of Budget Management. Management and budget, rather. So they report, these are self-reported. So right there, you're going to have some errors. You're going to have some missing information. But just starting at the top, last fiscal year, Trump's first year back in office, agencies reported $186 billion worth of improper payments. So an improper payment is essentially an error. It's money that the government paid to the wrong person for the wrong amount or for the wrong reason. It can be an overpayment or an underpayment. And it's for things like there's missing information or incorrect information in government systems. So $186 billion last year. It's $24 billion more than Biden's final year. So the reason in part is Biden's final year was lower than usual because these massive COVID-related improper payments, they began to taper off. So if you look at the first 3 years of the Biden administration, those years were much higher. They were between $236 billion and $281 billion in proper payments. So the Biden administration, his average over his 4 years, I think, was $230 billion, right? Trump's first term was $168 billion average. So not loose change, but it's far lower than Biden's.
Yeah, and I want to go over the numbers specifically when it comes to COVID, by the way, because I think this is interesting. Now, obviously, we know that the government was pumping out massive amounts of just I mean, we could joke and say blank checks, but they were pumping out a lot of money to Americans, to businesses to keep them afloat. That's what we were told, at least. Was it just that the numbers are super high because, well, they were pumping out a lot of cash and they didn't have enough time to vet it? Or is there something else to this?
I mean, that's what it looks like, right? If you go back before COVID, again, so if you look at, say, Trump's first couple of years in office in his first term, if you look at fiscal year 17, 18, 19, all of those improper payments were under $200 billion, between $140 billion and $175 billion. So still super high, right? But under that $200 billion threshold, you hit fiscal year 2020. Then you've got your Biden era, 21, 22, 23, all well above 200. Biden's highest was $281 billion in 2021, close to $250 billion in 2022. So yeah, I mean, if you look at what was going on at that time, it is COVID. It is that money that just went out the door without really any checks, as we see now all of the fraud that was rampant there. I will say, you know, in terms of improper payments, they're not even really counting fraud, right? An improper payment is what you would sort of just call an error. Sometimes it's laziness. Sometimes it's agencies. They're not speaking to each other, right? They don't share information like the do not pay list that the Treasury has. So you do find some agencies will be making payments to people who should not be getting money. So it's not necessarily fraud. Mm-hmm. Fraud is part of it. But you also do have agencies, for instance, the accounting is not there. They're not reporting what they should be reporting. There are many agencies that aren't compliant with OMB's requirement to report these improper payments. Some don't report at all. Some only issue partial reports about certain programs within their agency. Some have error rates that are really high, or they have things like they don't have sufficient risk management programs in place. So you have all of this money going out the door, you know, for things that aren't even considered fraud. Now, there is a fraud component to it. We do see every year, along with the improper payments, a report on what has been confirmed as fraud. What we know for sure was fraudulent in fiscal 2024, it was over $7 billion for federal agencies. And again, this is just what's confirmed by a judge in a courtroom. We know it's much, much more than that. What's going on now this past fiscal year for this report that just came out, there is no list of confirmed fraud. For some reason, that data is missing. We asked OMB why it's missing. They have not responded. But it's really important to have that because you can see not only what agencies, but what programs specifically have a history of confirmed fraud. And not so shockingly, those that have a history of confirmed fraud are also oftentimes those agencies that are not compliant with reporting their improper payments. It goes hand in hand. They're not giving the data they're supposed to. And then shockingly, they're also spending a lot of money on fraud. So there needs to be more transparency with these agencies in simply reporting what is going on to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars being lost.
Yeah, I want to ask you too about the efforts, right? So if we know that there's improper payments being issued, what is it like when the government tries to, or if they try to recoup those funds and pull those funds back? Is that easy? Is that often done? What does that look like?
They do. They are able to recoup. There's various ways they can do it. I will say in this report for fiscal year 25, there is a lot of data missing that we normally get. One of the things that is missing is exactly what is being done to recoup the money. So we do know for sure that 13% of the fiscal year 2025 improper payments, those were able to be recovered, almost $24 billion. They came back. It's unclear exactly how. I mean, a lot of times you have inspectors general going after funds and getting them to come back. You have audits being done. You do have criminal prosecutions and you're able to recoup some of those funds. But we don't have the exact details for this fiscal year. Again, that data is missing for some reason. And so, yeah, you know, going back to these agencies and doing these audits and doing these investigations is really important to get that money back.
Yeah, and I want to go over OMB for a second, because I obviously, as someone who does a lot of FOIA requests, but I've actually never done it from the financial angle for all of this. Obviously, it's a new administration and they've been in for about a year now, a little over a year now. What is it like when you try to get this information? Are they a little bit more transparent than the previous administration, or is it about the same?
So this is my first attempt to talk to OMB in the new Trump administration. I will say they did not get back to us in terms of answering the question of why we're missing a lot of data from this past year. Mm-hmm. So that's my one instance of trying to get this from them. I will give, you know, a ton of credit to right now the Trump administration. What they did do, Congress was able to pass a bill, mm-hmm. bipartisan support, passed in both chambers. President Trump signed it earlier this month. It's called the Ending Improper Payments for Deceased People Act. Pretty straightforward. Dead people should not be getting any money, right? We see this every year, hundreds of millions of dollars paid to dead people, usually often through Social Security, right? They were getting Social Security checks. They died. For some reason, the information didn't get to Social Security that they were dead. They keep issuing these checks. So this law finally allows Social Security to share data with the Treasury. The Treasury keeps a do not pay list. And, you know, shockingly, these two agencies were not speaking. So now they can coordinate. They can use this master list and avoid payments to deceased people. So hopefully this fiscal year that we're in right now, there should be $0 paid to dead people. So hopefully we'll see that in next year's report.
It's common sense, Rachel, but it's not very common. I mean, the fact that we have to pass legislation that pushes that forward is so crazy to me. But that's where we are. That's where we are. Rachel, you guys do incredible work over at openthebooks.com. And so I'd highly recommend our audience go check it out. I got your Substack too. I get all your emails. You guys do an incredible job at Open the Books. And it's always an honor to have you on the program and have your whole team on here. So thank you for all the incredible work you're doing, because not many people are going through the numbers. And it's very important that we do just that. So thank you, Rachel.
Of course. Thanks for having me. Always happy to be here.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Folks, it's Open the Books. They are a great group, great organization. I've learned so much from them over these last few years. And again, their Substack page has a ton of articles over there. Openthebooks.substack.com is also where you can find them as well. So make sure you give that a look. Folks, we're taking your calls in just a moment. I got breaking news I wanted to make sure we dished out to the rest of you. Of course, the Supreme Court disappointing the American people by, well, ruling against President Donald Trump's use of the emergency powers for imposing tariffs on imports. Again, the Supreme Court just shot him down on his efforts to bring about tariffs. They're saying that he abused his power. It was a 6-3 decision. The justices struck it down, the tariffs, finding that Trump exceeded his authority. And that comes, of course, from Roberts as well. The three descended were Thomas, Alito, and Kavanaugh. So that's just coming down right now. I haven't had a second to read the opinion, of course, but I'll get on that soon to figure out what's going on here. But again, not surprising. Also, more breaking news. You know, I reached out to DHS and I'm very, very disappointed. I'm sorry, not DHS, DOJ. As many of you guys know, and I was actually talking to Alex about this because we haven't heard information about DHS in regards to the 145,000 children that were recently recovered. These were migrant children lost under the Biden regime. As many of you guys know, over 400,000 children were lost. They decided to bring these children in. It was a huge human smuggling operation. It was awful. But this DHS has obtained and found, and they've located 145,000. That's good news. Good news. We like those numbers. Obviously, we want to be significantly high, but it's a long process. So I reached out to the DOJ because keep in mind, folks, 145,000 unaccompanied migrant children didn't just get dropped off and just go MIA. They were given to unvetted sponsors. Wrong one. They were given to unvetted sponsors. Now, what happened after that? Well, a lot of those individuals were handed over to drug cartels, those children. Some of them were forced into sex trafficking. Some organ harvesting. The government won't tell you that, though. I will. And others were forced into to slavery. It's obviously a horrific situation, but it also violates our current laws in this country. So, you know, me and Alex are talking about it. Like, we haven't really heard about the DOJ in regards to all of this. Where's the DOJ in prosecuting these people? Right? Because we heard from the whistleblowers. The whistleblowers told us that we were giving these children away to drug cartels, to addresses that never existed. All they had to do was run the information. They would have known that this was a person who they shouldn't be handing a child over to. So I asked the DOJ, hey, do you guys have any pending criminal charges against some of these sponsors? Guess what? The DOJ didn't respond. I gave them close to 24 hours to respond. Give me just a number. How many people are you prosecuting? Well, sorry, guys. I ain't got nothing for you. You know why? I promise you the DOJ is not doing anything about it. They were given the opportunity to speak their mind, to tell us what's going on here, and they decided not to say anything. And again, I reached out to them directly. Their media team, so it goes out to several people on their communications team, and the DOJ, who can't seem to get a single win these days. They don't have comments on how many people are being prosecuted for kidnapping children and shuffling them over to, you know, sex traffickers, forcing them into slavery. It's not a priority, apparently. But it also aligns with the Epstein files, given the fact that we still have not seen a major criminal indictment regarding just that. Remember, Ghislaine Maxwell, she was trafficking children, but to who? Sorry, you're out of luck. Can't tell you about that. All right, let's jump to some calls, folks. If you want to jump on and talk to us, the number is 877-789-2539. That's the number you're going to want to call. Amanda in Arizona, welcome to the show.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
Hi, Amanda. Yes, I can. How are you?
Okay. Good, thank you. I was so glad to hear about your topic today and get to share this because I've been trying to bring attention to it for a while. But this facility down in Marana, Arizona, in southern Arizona, is a $100 million research facility that spans over 300,000 acres. And they're using AI and DNA alterations to, you know, change the genetic traits of mainly corn crops. And according to their own website, you know, they claim that it will provide, you know, sustainable agricultural innovations that help farmers thrive, strengthen global food security, and contribute to a healthier planet. But knowing the history of Bayer pharmaceuticals, that seems a little suspicious in my eyes. As well as a couple of years ago, I was in a training that Bayer was facilitating for science teachers to get data and kind of what they were working on. And I had asked one of the lead researchers about things I had heard from Alex Jones about GMO crops and seeds, and asked them, you know, I've heard that if there's a GMO seed, that it can't be replanted over the years, they have to come back and buy more seeds. And I asked him about that, and he said that was 100% true. And I asked him why they would do that, and his first answer was profit, which tells you a lot about, you know, the industry and this particular company and this facility.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy to me that we even have bioengineered food. I mean, I at first had no idea this was even a thing, Amanda. And I remember just flipping over a package and seeing it. And I was like, what does that even mean? And then doing, obviously, the dive into it. I mean, we're killing our people. And it's obviously something that's deeply concerning because, again, this is a pharmaceutical company, too. I mean, they're dishing us the food. And, of course, this is my opinion, but they're dishing us the food that's killing Americans. I mean, glyphosate is being dished out to the American people by Chinese companies. And the Chinese aren't even doing this to their own people. I mean, it's so mind-blowing when you go down the wormhole. Amanda, how did you even stumble upon this? Because I thought it was interesting. When you tagged this on X, I flagged the article and put it on the side to look at it later. But how did you even stumble upon any of this?
Yeah, so I live in Arizona. And how I learned about it was there's an organization I'm a part of that I won't say what it is, but it has to do with science teachers. And they partner with this organization or with the facility to give trainings about sustainable crops and GMO crops. Mm. And so I joined that training to learn more about it and was a little bit horrified by it. So I'd love to see what you and your research and you know, investigative skills can do to kind of dig deeper into this facility and how it's being funded and how it's being used, because as far as I know right now, it's just research, but I can't really find more about how these crops are actually being used or what the future holds for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm definitely going to look into this. I think this is insane, but it's not surprising. It's not surprising at all. And I was just so upset when I saw that the administration was signing this executive order. It's very upsetting, of course, but Amanda, thank you for flagging this and putting this on my radar. Again, the list of everything you need to dive into when it comes to our food products just continues to get longer and longer and longer. And it's so frustrating, but I mean, just to highlight this, folks, this is why I shop at, I mean, I know it's not 100% bulletproof, but, you know, I try to get European made products, and you could do so at a reasonable cost too. They don't have fruits and vegetables, of course, but Home Goods does have a lot of good dry food options that pass the European standards. And that is definitely healthier than our own standards. So that's where I am at these days on a lot of those products, but for the most part, carnivore. But Amanda, thank you for joining us. I appreciate you bringing this and putting this on my radar. Very thankful for that. So thank you for calling into the show.
Yeah, thank you for your time.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Let's get to Anthony in North Dakota, because Anthony, I hear you want to talk about glyphosate as well. So we'll keep it on topic. What is on your mind?
Well, I grew up in North Dakota and moved away for, I've done research in the paint and coating industry and did some stuff on pipeline, but I came back after my mom passed away to help dad out. Mom passed away from cancer. There's a spike in cancer rates in the valley here. And I posted a link on the chat, statecancerprofiles.cancer.gov. And that breaks down the cancer rates per county itself. And if you take a look and use that site, you can find that primarily agricultural areas have a high rate of cancer rates. And that's caused from the pesticides that are applied to the crops. And to me, it's correlation, causation. I mean, it is what it is. But back in the day, I mean, people had heart attacks, strokes, whatever, when they passed away. But now cancer is the biggest thing that gets people. And that ties into general farming practices from the federal crop insurance protocols for weed control. Also for during harvest, if you're a farmer and you want to have your crop ripen at a specific consistent rate so you don't get hit with dockage at the elevator, you'll apply Roundup, and it's called burn down. And they apply Roundup at the time of harvest. The Roundup gets into the husk and the seed of the grain itself, and that residual is what ends up in the food. It's a very big issue, from like water quality issue and just general health. I mean, the agronomists, they're kind of like the dirt doctors, and those are the people you'd want to reach out to see what the narrative is from like Bayer or any of these other big agricultural chemical companies. So that's an avenue to take a look at. But also, there's a back in the day, I think they still do it, but Monsanto, and you know, this is hearsay, but they have a goon squad that goes around. I kid you not. So the farmers, they've been farming into the right of way off the roads. So they've been farming the ditches. So these guys from Monsanto go around and do leaf cultures. So basically, the right of way of the road is public, you know, a public property, so they can go into the fields, spritz down the plant, and test for Roundup resistance. And what they've been doing is they've been clipping farmers that, air quotes, aren't buying the seed from licensed seed brokers and suing them. And what happens is with these GMO plants, they cross-pollinate. They have dominant genetics where you, as a farmer, you don't really, I mean, it's a lot cheaper to hold back your grain to plant for next year. Do a germination test.
Hey, Anthony, can you hold the rest of that thought for just 1 second? We're going to get cut off by a break, but I want you to stay on hold. We'll take you back in just a moment. I want to make sure we don't cut you off. I want you to continue your thoughts. So hold on right there, folks. Again, we're taking calls this portion of the show, so call in if you'd like to. We'll be right back in a moment.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene Bluetooth. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body.
And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, know me for a long time, said, sure, he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in.
Because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue. And then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah, I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshow.com. It will certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it. Yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultimethylene Blue, thealexjonesshow.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, it was like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it on SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShow.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psycho. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in, and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time, the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first and then working out so hard that, you know, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because... It's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'll be like a restaurant. I'm going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Folks, I think the DOJ is watching the show. I did just get response back in regards to the children that are missing. As many of you guys know, 145,000 children, migrant children, have been located under this administration, which is obviously a massive, massive victory that was done through DHS. They did send me over some cases. I'm going to scope through them in a little bit, but they did just respond. So to be fair and balanced, of course, I will be reading that response to you in a moment. So we'll get to that in a second. In the meantime, though, let's get back to Anthony, because Anthony was talking about glyphosate and the farming challenges that we currently have throughout the United States and how cancer is spiking. So I didn't want to cut you off, but we had a commercial there, Anthony. So thank you for staying on the line. Where were you on all of this? I know I didn't want to cut you off, but I'll let you just kind of continue to discuss what you were just discussing.
Oh, we're discussing the genetic IP. So basically, a farmer holds back their seed for the next season. The neighbor, they plant, you know, they're Roundup ready, they're dominant. Genetic strain next. to them, those genetics will eventually bleed over onto your plant, especially in like corn. And farmers have been sued in North Dakota that have taken them out of business at the, you know, because of genetic IP. So this is a much larger problem. And if you really want to take a look at, you know, what's really in some of these pesticides, you know, that are bad, take a look at the safety data sheet. A lot of these chemicals, they're fluorine based, and you know, by listening to Alex for 25 years, you know, fluorine ain't that good for thyroids and for human metabolic processes. It's the other concern too is, you know, this is from research, you know, it's, you know, if you drive by a field where they're spraying and you can smell it in the air, there's enough vapor pressure of that chemical coming off. Basically, it gets in the water, it gets in the soil, but you can also have a respiratory inhalation issue from those chemicals. It's a huge discussion that would take a long time to really cover. But the take-home message is, you know, the cancers, you know, are spiking. Our water, you know, because like Monsanto, they say, well, in order to break this stuff down, it's got to be exposed to sunlight. Well, you apply these chemicals to the canopy of the crop, some of that stuff drops and drifts through the canopy itself, gets into the soil, doesn't get UV, the sunlight don't break it down, gets flushed down because it rains, and it eventually ends up in the water table. And people really don't have home filtration systems here, which cause, you know, my opinion, and the data kind of shows it, that there's a correlation to the higher cancer rates because of that stuff. That's a big issue. Then the other issue...
it is a big issue, Anthony. I'm glad you called on this. And we got a couple other people on the line who also want to discuss that the food crisis related issue and all of this, and they're right on board with you too. So Anthony, thank you for the breakdown on that front. We appreciate it. And yeah, no, it's happening all over the country, especially throughout the Midwest. I don't think people realize it or pay enough attention to it. So yeah, no, absolutely. Let's turn to Chad in Minnesota, who also wants to weigh in on glyphosate as well. Chad, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling. We appreciate it. What's on your mind?
Glyphosate. I'm upset about that recent executive order, but we're dealing, I guess, with the military. There's not much we can say about or have to say when it's the military, it seems. But what I'm calling about, and great calls today again, great show. Glad that you're covering the glyphosate issues. And I think what is most apparent is that it's so embedded into everything. It's in everything. It's utilized. It's so, you know, we can stop using it and we can rule it, you know, make it illegal to use and do it. But we're still going to have a period of time where everybody that has, I would say almost everybody in the world, right? I mean, most people in the world probably have been exposed to it. Remedies. What are remedies to get, or what are some of the remedies to get this out of our body? And the number one that I've always found, because I've always been concerned about glyphosate, being, you know, I grew up rural Minnesota. I was around chemicals all the time. But glycine powder is probably I would say just to start, and it's inexpensive overall, and it's good for detoxification because your body needs it when you're detoxing anything. And what you do is you stack or you load up on glycine. You do about 4 grams of glycine and just take it, you know, daily for a few weeks. And what that does is it prevents glyphosate from being, it's an analog that what glycine does is it replaces the glycine in your body. So it takes over. And then aluminum is also a factor in this. And you can detox with zeolite. I know that I think your Kelsey Sirin, I'm pretty sure she had a bottle of Masterpiece Zeolite on her table. You might want to talk to her about it, see what she thinks about that. I just noticed it in one of the interviews on your show and others, and it looked like she had that bottle. And that was also helpful. That Masterpiece was part of the detoxification that the guest where he was scanning Alex and Harrison and finding the transmitters or the nanotechnology, supposedly. That guy, you know, also pushed Masterpiece Zeolite. So I think just overall, it's unfortunate because I called in and talked about BioCheck. And BioCheck now has on their, they're actually going to add a MAHA certified or certification. Yeah, they're based out of Florida. You know, it seems like everybody out of Florida, Dr. Mercola, he's out of Florida. These people have obviously are going in the right direction. And, you know, it's hard, like you said, I can't find any bread. And I would assume it's just the factor that wheat and is just sprayed. I can't find any bread that is glyphosate free. You know, if there's companies out there that are doing it, it's just really hard to find. So I think it's detoxification. We need to detox. And, you know, there's multiple ways. You can grow your own sprouts. You can grow all sorts of things and do it. But glycine overall is probably, start loading up on glycine.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Well, you know, Chad, it's crazy because, and we're going to get to Dan Lyman in a second because Dan, our reporter, is now ready to go. But Chad, you know, it's crazy to me because, again, it's really hard to find products, like you just mentioned, bread that doesn't have glyphosate in it. I wish I could test it out. I'm sure there's a way to test it that was inexpensive. But I just started getting flour again on Amazon that comes from Italy. And I don't know if it's a step up yet. I haven't made it yet, but I'm going to try to make my own bread. And then I've got to figure out someone could test it and see if there's any glyphosate in it. Because again, it's obviously going to be the flour. So it's just flour and water. And you could also use eggs, but you don't have to. But again, I'm on it. So I'll let you know, Chad, if I ever get someone who could test it for me, if that's the key to getting around all of this when it comes to our bread. Folks, if you're on hold right now, stay put. I don't want you to go anywhere. We're going to have more calls. Obviously, see, there's a long list. But we have Dan Lyman, one of our incredible InfoWars reporter, on the line right now. And Dan, it's obviously a pleasure to have you back on the show. As always, you could follow Dan on X, Real Dan Lyman. I saw a story, Dan, and it was a story that really got me fired up, of a illegal alien who was apparently driving a construction vehicle, and he hit someone after running a red light. And then when you get his ID, you look at his ID, you realize that the individual was accused of committing this crime, who apparently is illegal. He somehow, some way, was able to obtain a real ID. Dan, what's the latest on this? Because real IDs, I was told, are IDs that are supposed to verify your information. And that's the reason why we all had to get it if you wanted to go and fly at the airport.
Right, and exactly. And so there's a couple actually different crash stories that we've covered just in the last few days here at InfoWars. You're referencing this story out of Pennsylvania, where this woman was run over by a construction vehicle. Reports indicate that it was a construction pickup, but it's unclear exactly what kind of pickup, but it has said in all reports that it was a construction vehicle. And this suspect had a ID out of Maryland. He was issued a driver's license out of Maryland, even though he is illegally in the country, and ran over a woman, 44-year-old Rebecca Funt. He ran over her in a crosswalk in Pennsylvania, in Littleston Borough, I believe it's called, or Littleston Township. But then, of course, we have this other incident I think you might also be referencing, which is this latest crash in Indiana. We've had so many of these. Big rig driver, illegal alien from India, who has been in the country illegally, according to reports. And we're still working on getting more info because the feds have been very tight-lipped about this one. But this guy, Sukhdeep Singh, they're all named Singh. All these drivers are named Singh. He was led into the country in 2018, unfortunately, under the first Trump administration, but indications that he entered the country across the border as an unaccompanied minor. And so the administration was dealing with a lot of those back then and released him into the country, into the custody of either a sponsor or a family member. And it looks like he was a resident of the state of New York for a while. And so now he's 24 years old. And he apparently had a CDL, a commercial driver's license, issued by the state of New York. So they're doing that for non-domiciled residents of the United States who are then proceeding to become truck drivers with these CDLs, and apparently moved to Indiana eventually. And most recent residence address was Indiana. And it looks like he was able to transfer his New York CDL to an Indiana CDL. It looks like it was a real ID, and it looks like it was a temporary non-domiciled CDL. So Indiana is also issuing these non-domiciled CDLs. And unfortunately, this has cost the life of another American citizen. 64-year-old Terry Schultz was passing through an intersection in a town outside of Indianapolis. And it looks like, according to investigators, that Singh ran a red light in the Freightliner semi-trailer that he was driving and crashed into Terry Schultz and killed him. And so, and also another, a third vehicle was involved. And this guy was taken into custody, according to the information that we have, by Indiana State Police and turned over to ICE. We're still working on getting more information about this particular case, but another American life lost on American roadways to an illegal alien driver. It's just the nightmare never ends.
Yeah, Dan, and I don't know how we end this unless we make these politicians that allow them access to our DMVs, unless we hold these politicians accountable by suing them. I mean, it's a never-ending story, and I feel like we're talking about this all the time now, that there are illegal aliens using their vehicles, which are weapons, to go down and mow down American citizens. Now, obviously, I'm not insinuating that this was intentional, of course, but the reality of it is a lot of these people are not educated enough. They don't have any educational background for the countries that they were brought in here from. Third world countries, they can't read our signs. They don't understand things. I drive around Texas all the time. I'm a driver myself. And I can tell you, I joke all the time and say, that person's probably not a U.S. citizen when I'm driving behind someone who's driving recklessly, has no care for our laws, our roadways, our speed limits, our, you know, get out of the left lane if you're not passing rule that we have here. And it's just so infuriating that this is what's going on in this country. But again, this was all self-inflicted because Democrats wanted to give illegals driver's licenses, and then they gave them CDLs, and then they just looked the other way when they were causing car accidents. And it's sad, but the transfer.
And to be clear, Indiana is technically a red state with a Republican governor. And so even red states are giving them non-domiciled CDLs as well. And you mentioned, sorry to interrupt, that, you know, these people aren't necessarily educated enough, or they don't have a command of the language in order to get behind the wheel. But they also, in my opinion, they don't have the morality to keep themselves from getting behind the wheel, because they know that they're not capable. They know they're not properly trained. They know they don't understand the road signs or the road rules. And yet they're still getting in these 80,000-pound land missiles and killing Americans left and right. And you see, without exception, every after photo taken by law enforcement, these guys have no expression on their face. If I took a human life in a car accident, I would be distraught. I think you would be too, and as would most of the audience. These guys couldn't care less. And we've seen even on the dash cam footage, when these guys are getting in the accidents, literally in the process, couldn't care less. They just have no feeling for what they're doing. Look at this guy. He just doesn't matter. He just took three lives, actually Haitian lives in that case, which is interesting. But that's another story.
Yeah, they
but
were immigrants too.
Yes, they were. I think they may have been in the country illegally as well, which is just another story. Another tale where a crisis on American soil, everyone involved is not from this country, which is, it's, I mean, it's tragic that they died, but it's just crazy that we're finding out that we are totally overrun in case after case after case. But in the Indiana story, this was an American citizen, Terry Schultz. Rest in peace.
Yeah, it's really sad. And this is all avoidable. And again, these people need to be held accountable, specifically these lawmakers that allow it, because they pretend to be empathetic towards the individuals who they're allowing to flood into our country, but not empathetic for Americans. And that's the issue that I have with this entire situation. But I want to shift gears a little bit. You guys over at Border Hawk, which is another organization that you and your brother, you guys run, and your mom's also a part of it too. So that's also, it's a family business over here. But it's a great group that you guys have going on over there. You guys have been covering extensively the invasion going on, but you just recently got an exclusive. You guys were tailing around with DHS agents, and you were able to get a look at Operation Liftoff. Now, Liftoff is spelled L-Y-F-T. That's because it's the ride-sharing company, I believe, that they were targeting in all of this. But this is your report. I'll let you break down the latest.
Yeah, so we were invited by ICE to embed with them for a day on an operation, as you mentioned, called Operation Liftoff. This took place in Port Canaveral in Florida, in Cape Canaveral area, right by the port where the cruise ships come in. And this was the third iteration of this operation They've been doing it every few months there. Excuse me. And what they're doing is they're going into these lots pre-dawn, where many of the Lyft and Uber drivers and some of the other, I guess, apps that are available to rideshare passengers. And they're going into these lots where these guys and these women are waiting in the pre-dawn hours to pick up cruise ship passengers that are disembarking. And the lots are totally full by like 4 or 5 a.m. because they know that this is where, you know, everyone's coming in. On this particular weekend, I believe there were 6 cruise ships coming in that they were expecting. So this is a multi-agency effort. We had the FBI involved, DHS. I was with ICE. We had Border Patrol, a local sheriff, Brevard County Sheriff, as well as Florida Department of Law Enforcement and a couple of other agencies. There were dozens of agents and officers and deputies involved. And so basically they storm this lot where all these people are waiting in their dark cars in a very dark lot as well, and just start knocking on windows and questioning drivers. And so that was going on for a few hours, and they rounded up, I would say, about a dozen to 15 drivers. And then they also had the sheriff's deputies watching the roads for drivers who were leaving. And they stressed the importance that these were all consensual encounters. Anyone who wanted to leave was allowed to. However, the sheriff's deputies were monitoring the roadways for moving violations. And if any of these drivers drove away and probably in a little bit of in haste and maybe a little bit of, in a different mental capacity, if they felt like they were getting away from law enforcement, they were making a lot of errors on the roads, and the deputies were pulling them over and questioning them there. So there were a couple of apprehensions right on the roadways as well. And then we found out that the illegals had caught on to these raids, and they had begun parking their cars, waiting for passengers at different locations, like different restaurants and convenience stores and gas stations. So we found out about this because the legal drivers know that they're doing this, and the legal drivers are getting cut in line by these illegals who apparently, we were told, are using some sort of software hack to actually jump the queue that the drivers wait in. So, you know, as a passenger, sometimes you're waiting in a queue for an available driver. Well, drivers also wait in a queue behind others if there's a big surge of passengers for them to get their, you know, their allotted fare. And so these illegals are somehow skipping the line with these software hacks, we were told. And so the legal drivers were totally fine with turning them in, so to speak, or letting them know where we should go look for them. So we went to a racetrack gas station, and there we found more drivers waiting. And so in total, there were 18 apprehensions. They were all in the country illegally. One of them had a pretty disturbing criminal history and had been previously deported as well. And so this was a great operation. And I have to stress for our viewers, the state of Florida is far and away just leading the charge in terms of cooperating with the federal government, the Trump administration, in this immigration crackdown, illegal immigration crackdown. And all of the federal agents that I talked to said Florida is the gold standard right now. So that's really great. I mean, Florida has more than 300 287G partnerships with ICE, which is more than 40 other territories and states combined, ICE tells me, which is incredible as well. And so ICE and their partners were all singing the praises of Florida. And I want to point out that this is very important. People might say, the weaker hearts out there would say, they're just here to make a living and, you know, they're just driving. We need more Lyft drivers. Well, today we found out that a Lyft driver in Kentucky was just arrested, an illegal alien, for raping a woman and sodomizing her at gunpoint in the back of his Lyft vehicle. So very important that we're getting these guys off the roads. And anyone who has taken a rideshare vehicle in a major city across this country and many non-major cities will know you get in often and the driver doesn't speak a word of English. And This is also ties back into what we were talking about earlier. These guys don't understand the rules of the road. So do you feel safe getting in a vehicle where you might get raped at gunpoint, or where the person driving doesn't know a word of English and they're just scamming the system? And in many cases, they're driving under aliases belonging to other drivers. They are skirting the road rules. We found out, just one more example, that many of them are putting bike racks strategically so that they block the license plate so that they can go through the tollways and not have to pay the toll. But Uber still reimburses for the toll and, of course, passes that charge on to the customer. These guys are getting, even collecting, you know, the toll fares and not being charged for it by scamming the system that way. So we find layer after layer after layer. These people invest so much ingenuity, time and energy into scamming the United States and American citizens and cutting lines literally and figuratively.
Yeah. Well, Dan, this is the reason why we want these people gone. And it's so infuriating. But I joke all the time on X about this, but I actually am very serious about it. Here in Austin, we have those self-driving vehicles that go around and they'll pick you up. And when you're driving or when you're requesting a vehicle, Uber will ask you if you want the self-driving car or if you want an actual Uber driver. And I always joke and say, you know, it's probably safer to go with the self-driving vehicle rather than Muhammad driving me around. But I know a lot of people, some people do get offended by that, and I don't really care for their feelings. But the reality of it is I've gotten into cars before where I've had the Uber drivers, it's 2 a.m. and he probably thinks that I'm just drunk, but I just couldn't find parking, or I parked somewhere else knowing there was going to be parking and I just need him to bring me to my car. Anyways, it'll be late at night and they'll try to make a move and be creepy and linger. So there's a reason why we've had enough of these individuals. Of course, they're foreigners. They're not American men. And yeah, I'm not saying American men don't rape. Obviously, we know that they do obviously do that. But it's a significantly higher statistic when they are illegal aliens who are manipulating these apps, when they are not being honest with who they are because they think they can get away with it. I mean, this is definitely a serious issue. And I get it, Lyft and Uber, it's a massive platform, so it's really hard for them to sift through everything, but there needs to be a better job done. And I know there's pending lawsuits also as well that allege that. But Dan, before you go, I wanted to get your quick reaction. We got about 2 minutes left. You know, me and Alex were talking yesterday in regards to DHS rescuing thousands of missing migrant children. These were the unaccompanied minor children that were shuffled into the country under the Biden regime. So far, according to Tom Homan, they've rescued about 145,000 children, now that they've located them or they've rescued them. But that's the number he's throwing out there right now. So I asked the DOJ specifically if they have any pending cases against the unvetted sponsors, those human traffickers, those cartel members who were picking up those children and bringing them to, whether it was slavery because they were having them do illegal labor and they were paying them pennies on the dollar for whatever they were having them do, or they were sex trafficked. The DOJ initially blew past my deadline, and so we published it on air. I put it on Twitter as well. But just when you were on air with us, they have since responded, and they've detailed that they are actually actively investigating a lot of these cases. Now, they didn't give me an exact number. They are looking into it, though, and they will get back to me. So this is going to be an ongoing discussion between myself and obviously the DOJ. But the DOJ says that they are partnering up, and they are looking into a lot of this, because, of course, this is illegal human smuggling, and the sponsors were not being honest. And the DOJ is also investigating and prosecuting adults who fraudulently pose as minors as well. That's what they also gave me. Now, they've listed so far about six different cases of potential ongoing charges and reaction to all of this. You've got about 1 minute, Dan. I'll let you have the floor, though. Your reaction to the DOJ saying that they are investigating and potentially going to be charging these individuals, but they only have about six charges on the book, or six individuals being charged on the book so far.
Right. And I want to point out how amazing it is that you're live tweeting this while you're on the air. That's incredible. But yes, this ties into a few things we've already talked about, a few stories that are brewing right now. Right before we went live, I saw that an illegal alien, I believe from Guatemala, was being charged for actually applying to be a sponsor for these UACs, these children. This ties into the story we just spoke about out of Indiana, where this guy supposedly came in as a UAC. These people can claim, I mean, if you look like you might be under 18, you can claim whatever you want and just say, I don't have any paperwork. So this Indian driver may well not have been under 18. He claimed to be essentially 17 when he came into the country, and he's lived here ever since and then killed an American citizen, apparently. And this also ties into a recent story where we saw that a 12-year-old girl who was trafficked into the country as a 1-year-old and turned over.
The commercial break's going to cut you off, but we'll come back to you in 1 minute. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Today and tomorrow, the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle. It only happens every few months where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle, you get put in for just the next 2 days, is all that's left, to get both vehicles. There's a time where there's a crossover for 1 week. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time, it's probably just last throughout the weekend, I'm told, is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. I noticed everybody else copied it, which is cool. I just go, why don't we have that classic design back? So they brought it back, and it's a ring of, 13 stars around 1776. And it's simple, it's clean, and a leftist probably won't kill you or murder you for it. You know, if you have like a MAGA or InfoWars hat, that's a real adventure. This is just at the airport or wherever, hey, patriots know. And it's just exciting, spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, it's a free 1776 ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the store, become a VIP for $30 a month. You can cancel any time for free. Instantly, you get $40 to spend each month. The minute you click that button for $30, you get $40 to spend. Special deals, special offers, special sales, stuff, everything. So anybody buying anything should be a VIP. And it's really no commitment. You just get better deals. Cancel anytime for free. One click in your profile. Everyone should be a VIP. Also, sometimes stuff runs out and sells out. You don't want that to happen? Become a subscriber. Cancel anytime. They hold it back for you at the biggest discounts as well. Become a VIP. Become a subscriber. But regardless, share the live feeds of the show. Tell folks about those local AM and FM stations, cable stations, because that's how we reach the people and that's how we change the world. The whole globalist house of cards is coming down. We've been vindicated. You've been vindicated. Nothing's going to stop that. Stay with us. Massive guest straight ahead. I'm going to go to the hospital.